Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello and welcome to the FSP Crew Show. No, we're not passing away. No, that's not why I'm playing this. The reason I'm playing this is because of things that have been happening since the first of the year. First of all, I am JT. I am the host of the FSP Crew Show, and I am also joined by my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie from the wonderful D.C. area. And also from Jeff the Joker from North Jersey, a Jersey guy just like myself. We make up the FSP Crew Show. And as always, we engage in conversation and also give you information about the world of fantasy, sports, and politics, and every other subject that comes to our head. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I say that again, 347-637-3220 is where you can converse with us. And also we have a chat room, which is open. If you would like to converse with us through the chat room, a comment, statement, you can do that also. But let's kick off the show. I'll bring in my two co-hosts, and then we'll go from there. Welcome, Black, and then Jeff. Talk to me, guys.
What's going on, man?
Hey, everybody. What's up?
All right. Now, as you heard me bring into the show after our intro, I had the bell tolling. And I'm not laughing because of that, but it's ironic. It's a nervous laugh because the fact is we have had an array. And when I say array, they cover the spectrum of celebrities passing away. I'm just going to name a few of the celebrities since the first of the year that have passed away. I'm starting with in January, and then I'm going to just get into February. We've only had 2 months, and it's unbelievable the amount of celebrities or people that we know in America or maybe worldwide for that, the amount of celebrities that passed away. In the month of January, we've had Joe Paterno, quite naturally everyone who – associated with college football or know with college football, know Joe Paterno was an icon in the country as a football coach. Greg Cook used to be a quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. He passed away. Robert Hedges, anybody who and he was 60 years old, so anybody who is in the baby boomer or maybe a little younger should know who Robert Hedges was. He was an actor who played in Welcome Back, Kotter. I know Jeff knows him. I know him. I don't know about Black if he knows him or not. But he passed away.
No clue.
I figured that. That's not a problem. If you ever see the sitcom Welcome Back, Kotter, who had John Travolta in it, who had Robert Hedges in it, who had Give me some help here because I'm trying to figure these guys out.
There was also Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Exactly.
I think Ron Palillo was Rorschach. Of course, starring Gabe Kaplan.
Right.
And this was the TV show that launched John Travolta's career. You know,
exactly.
John Travolta was Vinnie Barbarino. And they were this, you know, class of kids, you know, in Brooklyn. And Epstein was a Puerto Rican Jewish guy. and he used to always bring in these notes from his mother, and they're always signed Epstein's mother.
Right, right. So, in fact, one of my favorite pictures, and it doesn't have to do with Hedges, but it has to do with Travolta, is Saturday Night Fever. It's my one of my favorite pictures. I know it may be campy or whatever nowadays if people watch it, but I like Saturday Night Fever because it reminds me of the of that time when I was in the disco age. So let's move on from there. Also in January, Etta James passed away. Johnny Otis, who happens to be an R&B songwriter, I don't know if you guys knew him. He was only 90. He was 90 years old. Jimmy Castor of the Jimmy Castor Bunch, who is a R&B saxophonist. I don't know if Black knows him. I don't know if Jeff May, you may know him. But Jimmy Castor passed away in the month of January. Getting to the month of February. Now this gets pretty interesting in the month of February. Of course, recently, Freddie Solomon, who passed away two, 3 days ago on the 13th, he was a football player for the Dolphins and for the San Francisco 49ers. This guy, you guys probably don't know who this is. Maybe Jeff knows who. John Severin. He was 90 years old. He was an American comic book artist and co-founder of Mad Magazine. That's one reason why
I used to live for Mad Magazine. I might know the name,
yes.
But I grew up on Mad Magazine.
Yes. I don't know if you'd heard of Mad Magazine, Black, but Mad Magazine was a very popular and crazy magazine to read every time it came out.
Was it a magazine or was it a comic?
No, it was a magazine. It was absolutely a magazine.
They had books,
absolutely.
Too, though. They did have books. And the books were good too, but I think the books were just a spinoff of the magazine, and that magazine was so good, it was so popular. There was like ripoffs. There was Crack, and there was another one which were like blatant ripoffs of Mad. That was a funny, funny magazine.
Yes, it was. I really enjoyed Mad Magazine when it was out. Now, of course, Whitney Houston passed away, and Janice Voss. I don't know if you guys know who that was. That was an American astronaut. She passed away. What's today? Today, about 10 days ago. Sam Coppola. Now, ironic. Sam Coppola. Hedges passed away in and who had to deal with Welcome Back, Kotter and John Travolta. But Sam Coppola. Now he was in Saturday Night Fever. You guys probably don't remember this. I had to see it. I'm saying I saw this. I'm saying. Sam Coppola, who the heck was he? Well, Sam Coppola was the shop owner that John Travolta worked for in Saturday Night Fever. You remember that, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at the paint shop, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Sam Coppola was the paint shop owner. He was the guy in there. And Ben Gazzara, I'm pretty sure Jeff knows who Ben Gazzara is. He was in Roadhouse, Run for Life, and he was in a lot of other pictures, too. He died in early part of February. And then, of course, Don Cornelius and Angelo Dundee died in the same day, February 1st. That's quite an array of celebrities that have already passed in the first 2 months, or month and a half, I should say, in 2012. I had to see... Because it seemed like there was a rash of celebrities passing away, left and right, and I said, you know, there's got to be a lot of them passing away. And then when I got the list, which I got the list from Wikipedia, I couldn't believe the amount of celebrities that we know, or that the American public or the worldwide public would know. I don't know if you guys have any comments or any opinions on any of these celebrities, but if you do, I'll go to Jeff first and then end it with Black.
It's funny because, you know, I think different people have different definition of celebrity. But sometimes I think a celebrity will pass away, and unless it's somebody who's super famous or there's some kind of scandal or something, they barely mention it in the news. You know,
right.
And that's kind of lame. Because once in a while, I'll find out a celebrity passed away, and I'm thinking, oh, how come this isn't more of a news story, whatever. And then sometimes if a major celebrity passes away, it kind of overshadows if other celebrities pass away around the same time. Because I remember when Michael Jackson passed away, I think right around the same time was Farrah Fawcett, and it kind of overshadowed Farrah Fawcett passing away. And I really think Whitney Houston's passing is probably the most famous person since Michael, because, you know, she's very, very famous. And now I'm from North Jersey, about, you know, 10 miles from where Whitney grew up. And, you know, it's real sad. And I, you know, I already heard about her funeral is invitation only, and they're already going to close off streets, you know, at the church where, you know, she grew up at, practically, where her mother was a music director. And you know, you got to respect the family. But I don't know if they announced anything, but there's hope they're going to have something for the public that's yet to be announced. And they're going to have a lot of security there, you know, because there's going to be a lot of celebrities there, of course. And
Sure.
You know, and you know, the thing is, you know, you look at Whitney Houston and, you know, she, you know, had a lot, you know, looks, fame, talent, money, you name it. But, you know, she's flesh and blood just like the rest of us. And, you know, I used to work with a woman who used to go to that church, and she said Whitney Houston's mother, who Sissy, who was a successful gospel singer.
Right.
And she sang backup for Elvis, you know, and I think she might have sang with Dionne Warwick, who she's related to. Dionne Warwick is Whitney's cousin.
Right.
That she said that, you know, Whitney Houston's mom practically had to force her to sing in church. She was like this skinny, shy kid. And it's mm-hmm. hard to imagine. And the mom, you know, practically had to force her to sing. And, yeah, it's sad. And the governor of New Jersey is going to fly the flag at half mast on Saturday. And some people have issue with it. But I don't have an issue with it. You know, I think some people think it should be reserved only for military people or whatever. But that's debatable. It's, you know, that's not that mm-hmm. stone. She's probably one of the most famous people to, you know, come out of New Jersey. So,
and the thing about it, when you say that she was afraid to sing in church, and I had read this when I did a show on her on Sunday, that before each performance she took Xanax so she could get on stage, and be surprised. Probably you would be surprised how many celebrities have to take something just to get on stage, so it gets them over that hump of being panic stricken or too nervous to perform on stage. And there's another thing that I often read on Whitney Houston that I did not know. She sang the backup for Chaka Khan's "I Am Every Woman." I mean, she did a remake of it, and she had Chaka Khan in that remake. But when Chaka Khan first did her song "I Am Every Woman," Whitney Houston sang backup for that. And also, I didn't know this, and if you look up on YouTube, the song called "Hold Me" with Teddy Pendergrass, Whitney Houston was the female singer in that duet. I didn't know that either. I don't know if you knew that, Black, but if you want to comment on anything I said about any of the celebrities, you got the floor.
No, I didn't know that. Most of the names that you read off there were a little over my head before my time. And like Jeff was saying, I mean, she died the same day Angelo Dundee died. And I'm just the first time I'm hearing about Angelo Dundee.
What's that?
I did not know he passed away.
Don Cornelius and Angelo Dundee died on the same day. Passed away on the same day.
That's my first time hearing about Angelo Dundee.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Really?
That just goes to what I was saying. It that was barely a blip. You know, you think someone, you know, one of the, you know, giants in the fight game passes away.
Sure.
It's just barely a blip, you know.
If
you're on the computer for a few hours, you miss it.
Wow. I did a show, I think, when I did the master plan on Sunday, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before last, I mentioned Don Cornelius, and Angelo Dundee passing away, and unfortunately, on the same day. So I mean, it's just like Jesper was saying. It's amazing how some of these celebrities can pass away, and if they are on the same day as a more famous celebrity, they get and I hate to say it like this, get pushed under the rug. So. Or get very little mention. But, yeah, Angelo Dundee passed away. And when the heck did he pass away? He passed away the 1st of February, right along with Don Cornette.
That was a huge name in the boxing game.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and get back to Whitney Houston. And I'll get back to Angelo Dundee, too. But Whitney Houston, the song she sang, The Greatest Love of All, which was a remake from the song George Benson sang it first. Whitney Houston sang it after that. That song has a very big sentimental value to me because I got married to my second wife, and that was the first song sung at my wedding. And it had a lot of meaning to me, and the reason I said it, because the way Whitney Houston sang it meant a lot. If you listen to the words, it means a lot. So Whitney Houston, in my opinion, or I shouldn't say my opinion, I have listened to a lot of Whitney Houston songs. I like the song she sang in The Bodyguard. I'm trying to think the name of the song. I can't think of the name of the song.
I will always love you.
I will always love you.
Yes, yeah, that one, absolutely. I mean, it's a lot of things happening at the same time. And on that note, for those who listen to the Saturday show. Unfortunately, our host, I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it anyway, the godfather of all these shows, the godfather who started the FSP show, got into an accident and is incapacitated enough not to be able to do the show on Saturday. So Jeff and I, and maybe an array of other hosts will be handling the shows until Vic is able to host the show on his own again. We all in the FSP family wish Vic a speedy recovery, and hopefully he does well in his recovery. I don't know if you guys want to comment on it, but. I'll go to Black first, then Jeff.
Well, you know, Vic is my man for a long time now. I already exchanged some emails with him, but if he's listening to the show, man, I saved a prayer for you, homie. Get well soon. Can't wait for you to get better, man.
Jeff?
You know, Vic is the man. He's not the godfather of soul. He's the godfather of podcast. And I posted a little something on... the FSP Facebook page, which people can check out. And Vic is the goods, you know. So hopefully he'll be back in the mix soon. So.
Yeah, I've known Vic for, oh, my God, through fantasy. I met Vic through fantasy, and one thing led to another. He started the show. I started calling in years back. I was like one of his second co-hosts. First, Ricky was his co-host. Then I became a regular on it. And from that, born the FSP Cruise Show. And from that, born the Master Plan. And he also has Compassion Dakini. And Vic has a lot of hands and a lot of things that he's trying to juggle at the same time. And like I told Jeff, now a lot of that has slowed down because of what's happened to him. So we'll still be corresponding with Victor, and he may even, if he if he's healthy enough, call in on the Saturday shows. But for now, either Jeff or I are going to be hosting him, or we'll be playing an archive show. It all depends on my schedule or Jeff's schedule, what happens from then. With that being said, I don't know where to start. Oh, you know what? Let me start here because this guy has passed away today. And let's talk about Gary Carter, the kid, one of the catalysts of the bad news Mets, I should say, because I think he was the, I wouldn't say the calming factor, but I think he had a big influence on how the Mets played, maybe not how they played off the field, but how they played on the field. Being the catcher, he controlled the pitching and also controlled the defense, and he did a lot of, I think, mentoring to some wild Mets, meaning Doc Gooden and Darryl Strawberry, to name a few. He passed away at the age of 57. I'm 58, soon to be 59. I'm 57, soon to be 58. It hits home very closely, for the simple fact is our ages are so close together. It's scary, and I happen to be a diehard Mets fan, so it hits me twofold. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'll go with Jeff first, and then Black to finish.
I remember Gary Carter pretty well. I don't watch that much baseball now, but I watched a lot growing up. And Carter came up. He started his career in the mid-70s with the Expos.
Right.
And I think the 70s were some kind of golden era for catchers in Major League Baseball. It seemed there were so many great catchers then. Johnny Bench, Thurman Munson, Carlton Fisk, some other guys that get overshadowed, Bob Boone, Jim Sundberg, Ted Simmons, a lot of good catchers back then. And, Gary Carter was, I guess, the youngest of them. And he was very athletic for a catcher. He got around well. It wasn't, I think in the old days, catchers were kind of dumpy guys who weren't good athletes. And he went in New York. He went from hated rival to one of the leaders of the Mets, and he was the piece they needed. Plays at the plate were always exciting with him, whether he was, running the bases or if he was behind the plate. And he got into a brawl once with or provoked a brawl, him and John Stearns, at least once. Those guys were bitter rivals back then. I think they buried the hatchet a long time ago. I don't think it was anything personal. But Carter was not afraid to block the plate. And, my feeling on that issue came up last year was, if you don't want to get run over, then stand behind the plate, I know Gary Carter's been sick for a long time. And, I think he had a brain tumor. And, he was really struggling for a long time. But he was... him and Keith Hernandez were the two veterans the Mets brought in to add to that young nucleus, and those were the right guys. And, it's a bummer. And he was a great catcher.
Black?
Don't know too much about him. I know he was suffering from a brain tumor for a while. I heard Jeff just mention Keith Hernandez. I know he was one of the subjects of a Seinfeld episode. So that's going way back. Way back before my time. I guess that was, 81 those guys played?
When they won the World Series, it was 86.
86? I wasn't into baseball back then.
And the Mets, that 86 Mets team, they dominated that whole season. Didn't they win 108 games in a regular season? I mean,
yeah.
They really dominated. And they had so much talent.
Arrogance, too, so they were pretty hated, too.
They kicked your butt on and off the field. They had so much good young talent, you know, of course, you know, it's a shame they couldn't have a dynasty, but, you know, that's what happens, you know. But, yeah, that was a tough team on and off the field. They probably fought as much as any team in the history of baseball, I think. They just, it was like, they had guys on that team like Ray Knight, you know, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, born-again Christian. That guy was looking for a fight. They all were.
Yeah, that was a team of fighters. You're absolutely right. You know, and the reason for that, because they were so arrogant, teams went at them with tooth and nail, you know, because the fact is they have so much talent and they were so arrogant about it that they had to, I wouldn't say they had to stand up for them, but they did have to stand up for themselves because otherwise teams would try to intimidate them through fighting. And so, yeah, they fought on the field with other teams, and they also fought with themselves. So that was to this day, I don't know how Davey Johnson was able to keep that team together, as wild as they were, to perform the way they did on the field. So, all right, now it's about halfway through the show here, about 33 minutes in the show, and believe it or not, folks, we have not even talked about what the newest sensation happens to be going on in the NBA. But now we are going to talk about it. I'm talking about All I Do Is Lin. I'm talking about Jeremy Lin, Lin Sanity, Be My Linentine, or whatever you want to say. It's been absolutely crazy what's been going on with Jeremy Lin now and the new sensation, the metropolitan area, especially the New Jersey, New York area, is absolutely going berserk. If you watch the game when they played in Toronto, which has a pretty high level of Asian American population in Toronto. They were absolutely cheering for Lin more than they were cheering for their team against Lin. And then when he hit the jumper to win the game, they went absolutely berserk. He had I wouldn't say a subpar game, but he had a typical point guard game, not scoring 20-something points, but he had 10 to 12 points in his last game against Sacramento Kings and a career-high 13 assists. Unfortunately, he had 6 turnovers. I know he's working on that. I don't know what to say. I'm going to have you guys comment, and then there's one other thing there's another thing I want to say about Jeremy Lin. I'm going to go to Black first about Mr. Lin, and then I'm going to go to Jeff. Talk to me, Black. Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, Jeremy Lin. I know people are going to hate me for my next statement, but I'm not liking Jeremy Lin right now.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with basketball. Well, it actually does, but not real basketball. I'm facing Jeremy Lin in my fantasy basketball matchup this week. And he's been putting up ridiculous stats. I'll affect my team's win. Now, if Lin can go ahead to finish out the week with the type of night he had last night, I'll take that. So, Lin, listen to me, Jeremy. Save the theatrics for next week, man. Let me finish out this week with you averaging 10 and 13. I'll take that from you, buddy. I'll take that from you.
All right, Jeff, talk to me about Lin Sanity.
Yeah, I mean, I live close to New York. I like the Knicks. In 2 weeks, the guy goes, you know, about as anonymous as you can be for an NBA player to, you know, he's the talk of the town. And the timing is perfect because the NFL season is over. Baseball training camp hasn't started. And the thing is, with the Knicks, you know, they play in Midtown Manhattan. They don't play in the boroughs. That's like the capital of the world, practically. So when there's big news with the Knicks, that's, you know, right in the heart of it all. And, you know, I've been saying for a while the Knicks need someone from the bench to step up. And it's been like something from a movie because it's very rare you see in the NBA a guy come out of nowhere. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so many guys who are great in college who stink in the NBA. You know what I mean? And it's
sure.
almost unheard of for a fairly unknown player to just bust out like that. And, you know, hey, he had a good game. You know, Friday night, everybody's watching because the Lakers were at the Garden. That's always a big deal because they only come to town once a year, and it's always been a big deal because also, you know, Lakers are good almost every year. And
right.
and Kobe knows this. I mean, Kobe knows his history, and he has a very high scoring average at the Garden because I'm sure everything's, hey, it's the Garden. Everybody's here. I got to look good. And, you know, another big game for Lynn. And, you know, I was on Wikipedia, and this guy has had to deal with a lot of nonsense because he's Asian American.
Right.
Which is messed up. And now I'm sure David Stern and, you know, Dolan, the guy who owns the Knicks, they're like watering at the mouth because they're thinking how much money they can make off of this guy. Which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the NBA, you know, wants a market in this country with as many people as possible, and also in foreign markets. And his parents are from Taiwan. He was born here. But already a ton of media from all over is very interested in him. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, I hope he could keep it up because, but, you know, it's, you know, he's been playing a lot of minutes. And I hope he could keep it up. And they're in a really busy stretch right now. It's unique. But you know, I like him. I mean, he's a good player. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. I mean, besides the fact he's Asian American, he played his college ball at Harvard. It's been a long time since there was a Harvard guy in the NBA.
Right.
But you know, he paid his dues. 4 years in college. He played summer leagues. He played in the D League. He's been cut by a couple NBA teams. And you know, the guy, he doesn't even have his own apartment. He's been sleeping on his brother's couch on the Lower East Side. His brother goes
exactly.
to school in New York. Yeah.
Great. Well, if, I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but he's been added to the Rising Stars Challenge. So he's going to be part of the – and when you're talking about cashing in David Stern, well – he's going to be part of the All-Star Weekend in Orlando. He's also going to be he's going to play a role in the slam dunk contest also, because Iman Shumpert is one of the contestants in the slam dunk contest. That's a guard for the Knicks, for those who don't know. So he's going to be that.
He's also rumored to be having a date in the very close future with Kim Kardashian.
Oh,
the life of Jeremy Lin will officially be complete.
Stop! Stop! I saw an article online a day or so ago that Kim Kardashian is no longer going to date any football players.
What about basketball?
Well, I'm just telling you, football players, she's no longer going to deal with. I guess after she got burned twice from Reggie Bush, she said she swore off football players, and but that doesn't discount.
She supposedly has a double date set up with Carmelo and Lala Anthony. Go out with Jeremy Lin. This would be very, very interesting.
Are you serious, or are you just kidding?
I'm serious.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. The next article I was going to read is this. Jeremy Lin credits Carmelo Anthony. According to this article, which is from Jarrett Zerling from the ESPNNewYork.com, dated today, Jeremy Lin may not have gotten a shot with the Knicks if it wasn't for the one player who critics say will interfere with the Knicks' upward trajectory. I'm speaking about Carmelo Anthony. While appearing Thursday afternoon on ESPN New York 1050, Michael K. Show, Lin confirmed that Anthony told coach Mike D'Antoni to put him in the Knicks' February 4th game against the New Jersey Nets, which was Lynn's breakout performance. Of course, if anybody watched that game, he scored 25 points and had 7 assists off the bench before being named the starter 2 days later against the Utah Jazz. On whether Lynn appreciated Anthony's gesture, the second-year player said, and it's a quote, "Of course. I didn't hear about that until after the game." It says, "Based on what Anthony did for his career, Lynn finds it all the more surprising that people talk about the Knicks superstar not gelling with the team's new and improved point guard-focused system." Lynn said Anthony wants to feed off of the Knicks' current success. And if anybody watched the game, I'll continue the article, but if anybody watched the game yesterday when they played the Sacramento Kings, for the most part, Jeremy Lin was sitting on the bench for the fourth quarter, and he was sitting between two people on the bench. On his right was Carmelo Anthony, and on his left was Landry Fields. He happens to be pretty close friends with Landry Fields, and it looks like they were having a pretty good rapport and conversation with Carmelo Anthony. So that's why the so-called media trumps up a lot of things to sell papers or to drum up controversy, because until you see a player or someone actually playing, you shouldn't try to create some type of drama thinking that one player won't be able to coexist with another. I'm not comparing these two guys to the guys I'm going to mention, but the two guys I'm going to mention were able to coexist and brought about a couple championships. I'm talking about Clyde Frazier and Earl of Pearl. Now, I'm not comparing these guys to that, but I'm comparing them to two good players and one player, talking about Earl of Pearl, happened to compromise his game in order to coexist with the other four Knicks that were on the court to bring some championships. I'm going to go to Black first.
If I'm hearing reports that are true, there's going to be a lot more compromises soon, because the new addition that the Knicks are going after, Mr. J.R. Smith.
Okay. Let me put it this way.
That is going to be a heavy Knicks team if J.R. Smith is able to sign. I understand his agent met with Dolan and the guys last night, and they're looking to sign J.R. Smith to the $2.5 million exception.
Okay. Let me get to Jeff about what I was talking about first, and then I want to address what you talked about, Black. Jeff, what do you think about what I just said about Carmelo and Lynn?
Well, you know what the thing is. Every city is different, and as far as being a sports town, New York is unique. Because there's so much media in New York, so many newspapers. Even now, there's still multiple newspapers in New York. There's so many TV channels, radio channels. There's a lot of competition. And if there's not a problem, they create one. In the smaller towns, a lot of the media are homers. You know, the newspaper, radio, TV, they're very friendly to the sports teams. And it's not like that in New York. And, it's a different atmosphere. And that's why Eli Manning is great, because he gives boring interviews and he always says the right thing. And, a lot of pressure, a lot of media, a lot of negative media. And, most towns have one sports radio station, which, believe me, a lot of junk gets stirred up on that. New York has two. They're probably the only, city with two sports radio stations. Getting back, it's a good example. You know, Earl Monroe, great shooting guard, changing his game to fit in with already established Knicks team. But I guess Earl, he realized, I'm going to lose out on some shots. I won't be the guy like he was with the Bullets, but, hey, it got him a ring. And looking back, and this is unfortunately the last Knicks championship team, the first championship they won without Monroe, that was in 70. In 73, they won the championship, and they had all five starters plus one backup were in the Hall of Fame. There weren't as many teams back then. I don't think that could ever happen again. I just don't think it's possible. But their starting lineup in 73, Willis Reed, the Busher, Bill Bradley, Earl the Pearl, Clyde, and they had Jerry Lucas on the bench. That's six Hall of Famers on one squad. It's unreal.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You're right, Jeff.
And someone was just comparing, I think it was Earl the Pearl or another Nick Great was comparing Lynn to Clyde, and that's high praise. And, you know, Clyde was beloved by Knicks fans. And after, you know, a little couple years after his playing career was over, he became a broadcaster for the Knicks. And, you know, everybody loves Clyde. And a lot of people tend to remember, you know, he was known for his style, you know, being a sharp dresser and stuff like that. But believe me, on the court, he was all business. That never distracted from his game. You know, he wasn't a Brian Bosworth or some guy who was just media hype. You know, Clyde was the real deal. You know, he played D and great point guard, and you know that. You know, his all his style and flavor was just the icing on a cake.
Right, Black.
You know, those guys are past my time, man. I'm just enjoying the conversation there. You know, I'm a young cat. I didn't see any Earl, the Pearl, Monroe. I'm glad he brought us. Did he play on our championship team or not? For the Bullets? Did he play with West Unseld?
Did Earl play with West Unseld?
Yeah.
Yeah, Duke Bellisco, yeah. I think he did play with West Unseld, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Earl was a big headache, big headache to the Knicks, especially Frazier. Frazier used to have loose hair. Let me put it that way. Playing against Earl Pearl, because Earl was you never know what he was going to do. In fact, Earl never knew what he was going to do when he got the ball in his hands and with either. Making a move to the basket or shooting a jump shot. You never knew where it was coming from and how it was coming. So he was a prolific scorer before he got to the Knicks. And he, like Jeff said, he toned his game down, but he still was a hell of a talent when he was with the Knicks. So that, yeah, you're right, Jeff. 5-6 Hall of Famers, you'll never see that again. Absolutely, never see that again. That's true. I think the Celtics had something like that too. So, but all right. The other thing I wanted to go through here is hold on, man. Let me just get my stuff together here. I don't even know if you guys heard this or not, but Mr. Practice. We're talking about practice is in the news again.
This is a terrible story.
Yeah. Well, what can I tell you? I'm just going to lay it out there. I'm going to read this article, which came from Chris Broussard today, the 16th, from ESPN, the magazine. This is about Allen Iverson. And I'll read this article. With hopes of getting one last shot in the NBA, former All-Star and league MVP, Allen Iverson is contemplating playing minor league basketball, according to a person close to the situation. Iverson is willing to play in the Caribbean, in South America, or even in the D-League if it gives him a chance to return to the NBA. This is a quote. Allen only wants to play if there's a possibility that it leads to the NBA, end quote. The person said, speaking on a condition of anonymity. And there's another quote. That's the only way he would go to one of these lower leagues. He wants to get back to the NBA and leave the game on his terms, end quote. Iverson's interest in returning comes as he faces some financial trouble. On Monday, a judge in Georgia garnished funds from Iverson's bank account to repay about $860,000 that he owes a jeweler. Iverson's representatives have reached out to several NBA teams, but none has shown interest in signing the 36-year-old. The Los Angeles Lakers D-League affiliate, the Los Angeles Defenders, has contacted Iverson's reps several times, but nothing materialized, according to the source. A top official from the Puerto Rican Basketball League has reached out to Iverson's group, but no team has offered Iverson a contract. Iverson also has been in contact with Garrios DeLora, a Venezuelan team, but there has been no contract offers, according to the source. Quote, nothing is imminent, end quote, the source said. Quote, the only thing that imminent is Allen's desire to show people that he's still got a lot to offer on the basketball court, even if it's just helping young guys learn from the mistakes he made, end quote. If Iverson doesn't sign with the club before the February 26th NBA All-Star game, he likely will give up his quest and accept retirement, the source said. In the course of his 14-year career, the 6-foot guard, shooting guard, averaged 26.7 points, the sixth highest NBA all-time scoring average. Iverson last played in the NBA for the Memphis Grizzlies and the Philadelphia 76ers in the 2009-2010 season, averaging 13.8 points and 4 assists. In 2011, he played only 11 games in an injury-filled stint in Turkey. I read that article. I'm going to go to Black first because he made a comment while I was talking about it. So I'm going to go to Black first to comment, and then I'm going to go to Jeff. Talk to me, Black.
Yeah, there's a guy who traveled with one of the biggest entourages that you could ever imagine. And that entourage helped this man blow through $154 million. This is a ridiculous story. You didn't have any savings at all out of that $154 million. You got all this jewelry, all this ice. I understand that these guys looked out for you. They made you who you were and took care of you while you were coming up and playing basketball. But, man, come on, man. This is a terrible, terrible story. I feel for Iverson right now. I don't know why he's trying to get back into the league at 36 years old. I mean, what good are you at 36?
Jeff?
Yeah, I feel bad for Iverson, too. I mean, I had a lot of respect for him as a player. I remember when the Sixers went on their run to the finals, and I just was so impressed by his toughness. He's 6 foot tall, very lean, and this guy, you know, would go to the hoop, and he just, you know, he wasn't about practice. He was about winning. I mean, you got to practice to win, but he was good enough. Maybe he didn't need practice as much as some guys do, but he was tough as nails. And really wanted to win, and I really respected that. And yeah, you feel bad for him, but you know he's a grown man. I can see, you know, I think everybody's been hurt by people who take advantage of you, and especially I can see early in his career. But you think by the time he hits 30, you know, maybe he'd realize that these people are bleeding him dry, and it's kind of like last year, Antoine Walker. You know, he blew through $100 million, got fleeced by a huge entourage, and I think last they heard from him, he was trying to get back in the NBA. He was playing in Puerto Rico. But, Iverson was a very entertaining player. It's unfortunate, but, you know, some of the blame goes to him, you know. What do they say? Hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me again, shame on me. But it stinks. So, you know, somebody becomes famous, becomes successful. A lot of people from their past are very quick to say, oh, he turned his back, he's a sellout, blah, blah, blah. You know, but then, you know, look at, you know, so many of these guys get bled dry by entourages and whatever. Look at Michael Vick, you know, what his friends got him into. It's a shame, and there's just so many former athletes in financial trouble. Now, T.O. admits he's having financial trouble. That's one of the reasons he's doing that indoor football thing. And the thing is also, I mean, with the economy and everything, there's guys, even without the entourage and whatever, who ended up going broke. Bernie Kosar had a nice, you know, real estate business going, and boom, now he's broke. It's all over.
Yeah, you're right about that. Lenny Dykstra, years back, he was making big bucks. Now he's scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, he's in real bad financial shape. Declared bankruptcy, and I think he's under charges for fraud or whatever it is. This economy in different ways have hit so-called celebrities or sports celebrities, I should say, in different ways. So it's not as great as it seems. If you don't take care of your money, a man and his money. What does it say? A man and his money is soon parted.
A fool and his money are soon apart.
There you go. Fool and his money is soon apart. So, if these guys don't have solid financial advice, the money they make, it may be nice while they're making it, when they're in their prime of their career. But I forget the statistic. I think it's in football. I'm not sure if it's in basketball. I think the statistic of guys that make millions of dollars in the football, most of it squandered in 2 or 3 years after they get out of the game. I think there's a statistic like that. I don't know if either one of you guys know that statistic, but I think I read that somewhere, that it doesn't take too long. Guys who make millions, if they don't take care of business and take care of their future plans with the money they make while they're at their peak, when they out of the game, that money is soon gone and washed up, because they continue the same ways that they had when they were in the league, when they aren't in the league, and you can't do that because that money is money that's not going to be made year after year if you don't get sound financial advice. So, got about 7 minutes left in the show. Somebody have something to say?
Oh, yes. We officially have confirmation that the Floyd Mayweather and Miguel Cotto fight will take place May 5th.
May 5th. And where is that going to take place at, Rock? Black? Because May 5th is my birthday. And if I have to fly to Vegas to go see this, I'll fly.
Think you'll be on Southwest Airlines making your way to Vegas, baby.
Oh boy. Let me see. May 5th happens to be. Let me see what day May 5th is. May 5th happens to be on a Saturday. Jeff, if Vic is not back on Saturday, you'll be doing the show.
Yeah. My pleasure.
You'll
have
be
a
doing,
nice time.
You'll be doing the show on a Saturday. It's Cinco de Mayo and my birthday. Oh boy!
Oh wow! We gotta have a fiesta
in Vegas. I'm gonna be in Vegas on my birthday. I guarantee it. I'm gonna try to lock up a seat in that new arena. They're gonna have a new arena, right, Black?
I don't know if it's a new arena though. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm afraid
ahead,
to go to Vegas. I'm afraid if I go to Vegas, I might not want to go to heaven. You know what I'm saying?
You got to go to Vegas and try this one.
It's going to probably be at the MGM Grand. I think that's what he has the contract with, right?
I'll
see if I can book a flight and a ticket for that fight, because I definitely want to see that fight, and I haven't been to Vegas in so long that would give me an excuse to go out there for it. So I got to cover it. It's got to cover it. I don't know how much of a fight I'll see, but I got to cover it. Anyway, there's another story that's been going back and forth, and he was involved in trade talks. Just before the season was taken off, and he didn't get traded, but one of his teammates did. I'm talking about Pau Gasol. There's an article, another one I've gotten from ESPN about he's unsure of his Lakers future. The NBA's trade deadline is March 15th, and supposedly he's heard rumors, or there's talks and rumors that he's Minnesota's interested in him, and several other teams may be interested. He may even dealt to the Clippers. Does anybody have an opinion on who would, what team, and it'd probably be a West team, more than likely. It may not be, but who would have a need for the services of Pau Gasol? If anybody has an opinion about that, Black being the NBA aficionado, I'll go to you first and then Jeff.
Oh, we'll take him here in Washington. And we'll put him out there with JaVale McGee and make the same happen. Because I don't know if we have any piece of trade to the Lakers to try to pick this guy up. Him going to the Clippers is very interesting because DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin, they're kind of two of the same guys in the same. That'll be very interesting if they'll be able to pick up ball. But we'll take him right here in Washington, man.
What about you, Jeff?
It wouldn't make sense for the Lakers to trade him unless they were getting a big man back in the deal. I think that's why there was talk that Gasol might be included in a trade with Orlando to bring Dwight Howard to L.A. So, I think a lot of Lakers were upset when Lamar Odom got traded. But that's normal. I mean, if you're friends with a guy, he's a decent ball player. You hate to see him go, but, you know, most of these guys know it's a business. I mean, it stinks sometimes, but it's a business. If they're going to deal Gasol, they should be getting somebody great and preferably somebody big. It's I think, though, Odom hasn't really taken off with New Orleans. He hasn't done that great so far, which is surprising, but, you know, it happens, you know. Kardashian girls are bad luck, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big Lamar Odom fan anyway. I think Lamar Odom, even before he got married to one of the Kardashians, he was a very soft player, in my opinion. I put Lamar Odom along the same lines as being a soft player as Chris Bosh. All they have is height, in my opinion. Every now and then, the squirrel will find a nut and he'll have a good game. But for the most part, they're very soft players. They're very low-key type of players that don't really assert themselves like they should with all the height and skill that they have.
Both of those guys are still better than Eddie Curry. That guy was a marshmallow. Oh, I couldn't stand that guy. They should have called him Chicken Curry. That guy was horrible. One of the many brilliant acquisitions of the Isaiah Thomas era with the Knicks.
That's true. You're right.
He still gets paid, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Well, we got a minute left in the show.
A very interesting thing to keep your eye on as far as Pau Gasol. Look for a move by the Portland Trailblazers.
Okay. You think so? They have a very young squad. You think Pau Gasol
is a young squad, and they have plenty of pieces that they can offer the Lakers.
Okay. Well, we're coming to the close of the show. I want to thank my two two co-hosts, Black and Jeff. If you guys got anything to say to close the show out before I do, we'll go in that order. Jeff, then Black.
It's been real. I'll catch you all next week. I'll be in touch with my two co-hosts later on. I'm on the road right now. And whoever's listening, try to tune in Saturday because I'm going to try to call in. So be good.
Black?
Yes, sir. We'll see you guys Saturday. Vic, if you're listening to mine, stay strong, brother. Stay strong.
With that being said, Vic, just like Black, and I know Jeff means the same thing, stay strong. Get well soon. We'll be hosting your show on Saturday, which starts at 1 o'clock, and also Master Plan, which is hosted by me on 10 o'clock on Sunday. And also they, on Tuesday, it's Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. She's on at 4 o'clock. And right back here again on Thursday, myself, Black, and also Jeff on the FSP Cruise Show. With all that being said, I said it on Facebook a few times, and I'm saying it again. Appreciate today with your friends and family and the close and loved ones, because tomorrow is never promised. I truly believe that, and treat today like it's your last day, because of tomorrow, it's never promised. With that being said, this is JT from Black and Jeff. We want to wish you a good night, a good week. Stay safe and healthy, and you've been listening to...
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Log on.